At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Father's Day and Sunday. I couldn't barely hear you. But he said, what, y'all? And I hope y'all know that means something big for John, myself, and for Brett, because we're all fathers here. Now, we talked a couple weeks ago about taking care of mom and how you do that. You get over to Dentsils. Well. Now it's our time, isn't it, men? Us fathers. And that's whether you're girl dad, boy dad, whatever the kind of dad you are. For all the fathers in your life, you got to properly take care of them. You do that by getting over to Dentsils this week. The summer sizzling specials in full swing with Dentsils Cashew Crunch, Pecan Brittle, and Peanut Brittle, handmade in copper kettles with brown sugar and butter. Doesn't it sound delicious? It is. It's a trio all wrapped together at a special price just in time for Father's Day. Or you can get dad some of my favorite, the tartlettes, made with crisp pecans, I hope Faith's listening, covered with fresh chewy caramel, and then enrobed in Dentsils' rich milk chocolate. Dentsils also got chocolate-covered raspberries, strawberries, grapes, or pineapples. So if dad likes chocolate-covered fruit, you got that for him, too. Or if he's a sportsman or outdoorsman, he can bring a smile to his face with everything from basketballs to golf balls, chocolate dush, chocolate ducks, or chocolate fish. Got it all the way. Dentsils has it all ready to go. Stop by Laurelwood, Germantown, Kyrville, where they make the candy at Pleasant View or downtown, and say thanks, Dad, with Dentsils made in Memphis and enjoyed by the whole world.
Every day around this time, we do something that is also enjoyed by the entire world. It's all the headlines from Jason and John. Let's do the rundown. All righty. We got the news that Zach Edey is going to be undergoing surgery on that ankle, left ankle, if you were wondering. So he will get the, it's unclear what exactly the surgery is. I've seen people speculate that it's like a
stabilizer.
Yeah. There's like another word for it though. Like, I can't remember off the top of my head. Dr. Brad, you know what I'm talking about? You know what,
Rod?
No, it's like a, maybe it was a hairline, or a hairpin or something like that.
I can see him stabilizing though. Cause he kept, I mean, if he didn't need it and it's an unnecessary thing that they're preemptively doing, like to stabilize that damn thing.
Stabilizer.
Yeah, yes. It's a stabilizing surgery.
Now, a lot of people don't know this. Brad is a doctor.
Yeah.
North Central College.
North Central College's finest. Yes.
You're an audio doctor, though.
You know, brother.
You're an audio doctor. So we're going to have to leave this one to the, you know, orthopedics. I wonder, is it still Campbell Clinic where these guys go? Or they go to Ortho 1? Do we know?
Ortho South, maybe?
Ortho South, okay. That's where my mom works.
Shout out to my mom. Oh, that's a great company.
I'll see what I can get in terms of, you know, she usually does violate, you know, the HIPAA, and she always gives me the the stuff. No, she doesn't that, actually. She's
all okay.
She would never give me the information on the prognosis there. But at some point he'll have it, and then it sounds like he's going to be out, you know, for the foreseeable future, the beginning of the regular season, which would not be until late October, right? Early November.
Good grief. The whole summer, John.
I know. It seems like a long time. Like, it really does. Like, I thought, okay, he'll miss 6-8 weeks. Like, he'll be back. But, nope. He will not.
I mean, there's conditioning issues with
100%,
that.
100%, yes.
100%. There's the rehab issues with that being gone that long.
It's a lost summer. I mean, it's a completely lost summer. Which, again, the idea is, all right, we're going to we're going to sacrifice this summer so that we don't have to give up any more summers. But you don't get to control that, right?
Like, yeah, if he was this brittle, maybe he should have been laying off.
Until
summer league.
So, yes, no summer league for Zach Edey, which is unfortunate. And Chris Harrington has written a piece up at DailyMemphian.com about the Grizzlies offseason and just sort of how this does or does not change sort of their outlook. But I'll just read a little bit from it. He says, while this is a somewhat elective surgery with a high success rate, one meant to make future problems with the ankle less likely, it's also still happening to a nearly 300-pound seven-footer. Long-term concern is unavoidable.
Yep.
Even before Edey's injury, I'd concluded that the Grizzlies needed to add to or at least shake up their front court depth. Partly this was because of reliability concerns about Brandon Clark. But this conclusion was also informed by how central Edey's highly specific skill set, screening, rebounding, providing an above-the-rim target, seemed to be for new head coach Tuomas Iisalo's preferred style. If that's the case, Edey probably shouldn't be the only Grizzlies big man who plays that way. Of more immediate concern than even opening night, installing this style in his first training camp without having Edey available. How much of a priority now is adding at center and adding someone who roughly plays like Edey? This Grizzlies summer could be quite complicated. It always is and was even before the unwelcome Edey issue. So
he literally just wrote what you and I, what I said in the open. It just gets more complicated now because something that you thought maybe they needed going into last season. Remember, in folks laugh, but I mentioned Andre Drummond, a type like that, a guy that could be a backup plan so all this pressure wouldn't be on Edey. Now you really need a guy like that going into year two when you were hoping to be giving him the reins and getting off of a player like that if you had added him last year.
Yep.
Now, again, if you go that route, does Edey make all rookie first team? Maybe not. Who knows how it develops? Or maybe the ankle isn't as much of an issue at that point. Maybe the way the minutes have been distributed, it was a little different. Maybe he's in a healthier spot. Who knows? But point is, now the need for it, the urgency that you have a guy like that has gone way up at a time you needed to be coming down. It's just, like I said, as he wrote, more complicated. It's always complicated for the Grizzlies, it feels like, this time of year. And you end up settling. To go back to what, you know, a point that I've made there that first hour is that they've put themselves in positions where they haven't, you know, the permanent fixes that they've come up with haven't been good enough.
No, they have not.
It puts you in these situations.
Then he talks about the fact that, you know, the path for the offseason for the Grizzlies is still basically centered around Jaren and what you do with him. And path one, he says, is renegotiate and extend Jaren Jackson Jr., which seems like we've heard that term quite a bit. You know, it clears caps. You got to clear some cap space to do it. So you know, you got to feel like some ancillary trades will be made on the margins there. And you know, then I guess the idea is, you know, it you know frees up, you know, space for you or whatever the case may be. But that's path one. You would have more than $30 million in room below the tax. So that's path one to get Jaren done, renegotiate and extend. Path two is wait till next summer because he's already under contract. Grizz would still be able to offer him a longer contract and a much bigger contract next summer than any other team. And it would give you much more flexibility now than, you know, you would have otherwise. So that's path two. And then he says, path three, things fall apart. Could the Grizzlies really ride it out on an impending Jackson free agency and risk losing him for nothing next summer? Or if the team can't reach and Jackson can't reach an extension agreement this summer, does that lead to a trade instead? This is the messiest and least likely outcome. So that's what he kind of writes about the Jaren situation. Do you have a preference on what they do with him?
Well, it had been to get it done as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm. The renegotiate and extend.
Mm-hmm. Just go ahead and get it over with.
Right.
Because, and I'd said, even understanding his flaws and having the bad taste of that OKC series, how he was handled it, and, you know, freshly in our mouths, I understood why you're moving down this path because of what he's meant to you. And remember, I keep bringing it up, Zach Edey is an investment in Jaren Jackson Jr. If you're telling me that Zach Edey isn't going to be a constant you know, consistently there and available to be that for Jaren, this huge investment we have with him, bro, I'm keeping my flexibility.
Yeah.
I'm pushing this down the road. You see where I'm going with this?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not locking in on Jaren right now when I have to have a guy like Zach Edey next to him for this thing to work. Just what are we talking about? And then, I mean, frankly, Zach Edey had nothing to do with where, you know, Jaren Jackson, us watching him get bodied by Caruso last year and the fact that you're, you know, where what he's about to get paid, a guy that was that has been that ineffective in the playoffs and his is now for his career. What he's about to get paid. So, but we were willing to suck all that up when you thought, okay, well, you've got the perfect piece next to him. You used a first-round pick on Edey. This is the – and it works for Ja Morant, Edey, a guy like him. Bro, I think rather than locking in on a player like Jaren, whose flaws, again, if they're not properly addressed, can come back and kill you. They can kill you, especially with what you're paying the two other guys, Ja and Bane. I'm keeping as much flexibility I've got. And if I have to move on from Jaren because, you know what, my other investment in him besides the potential money, Zach Edey isn't going to hold up in this NBA, so be it.
Right.
Because, again, I go back to Jaren is not your prototypical big that you pay max dollars to.
Yep.
He is not that walking double-double. And at the end of the season, he wasn't the defensive anchor he had been, the kind of guy that keeps your defense good. Just with his presence. Sure, Harrington will tell you, he's a great defender, he's versatile. That never changed. But him, and in terms of being able to keep this thing, this defense, one of the best in the league, that wasn't happening at the end of the year. You'd lost your entire defensive identity with him in the game, with him in there.
Yep.
So, no. Particularly when it's combined with this, you know, now renewed fears, I'll put it that way, my renewed fears of Zach Edey not holding up in this league. The way this front office, the way some of you all that said Zach Edey's perfect fit envisioned him doing. And remember, he has to. It's not just for Ja. It's not just for Jaren. It's Ja, too, and the space he creates, you know, being this kind of player.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's a difficult decision. I really do. Because, honestly, like, I would prefer to have the flexibility. Because, again, it just goes back to the whole, this core is not going to get the Grizzlies to where they want to be.
What you might find with the flexibility is there's a whole other way to win.
There could be.
The way this front office seems to be fixated, right, there's only one way.
Exactly.
And it's a big old center in the middle because you need that next to Jaren to rebound for him, and he's got to set the screens for Ja to create the space, right? He can't be a space eater in the middle like Valanciunas was because that eats the space that Ja needs.
Yes. I mean –
And as far as because we're addressing – you know, Jaren's flaws in having the big man. Because it all ties in. It's like the only way we can win.
Yep.
It's the only way we can do it.
Yep.
And that three man's got to come in here to offset the minus that Bane and Ja are defensively in the backcourt. That three man's got to come in here and be a beast defensively that can, oh, by the way, also knock down threes. But it's this one formula that we've sort of been focused on for the last 3-4 years here since you got Steven Adams in here and saw how dominant that was and how good it looked with Ja. It's been this way. Maybe, John, with that flexibility, you find a different way, a new way.
Mm-hmm. Could. I don't rule it out.
A way that could work, you know, that is more realistic in terms of it working in this league.
Yeah.
Because your way still does go, even though you're playing fast pace, you're asking a 300-pound, 7-footer to get up and down the floor. It still goes against the current NBA, the way it's playing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, we'll see what the, I guess, you know, the draft would probably be an inflection point for any decisions or trades the Grizz want to make. Like, I don't know. I think July is the earliest, actually, that they could do this. So we still have some time before that decision gets – I think the Grizzlies –
yeah, because calendar year doesn't start till July.
Right. I think the Grizzlies would like to get it done. I think that's what, you know, they would like to just get the renegotiation and the extension done. But Jaren may not. You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know where his head's at. So – we'll see. But yes, Zach Edey not being available certainly makes, you know, in terms of Jaren's situation, probably not much different. But in terms of the team construction, makes the offseason a little bit more complicated.
Brian Seely is a name you need to get to know because over the weekend he became a very powerful man in college athletics. On Friday, he was named the chief executive officer of the College Sports Commission, the CSC. get used to that name. It's one we will be saying a lot going forward, maybe even as it relates to college football more than we're saying NCAA. But it is now the enforcement agency that's been launched by those big-time conferences, the SECs, the Big Tens, to oversee and implement the system that's going to allow these direct payments from NCAA schools to athletes for the first time. This all comes in the wake of the news that a $2.8 billion settlement has been approved by a federal judge. We've otherwise termed it the House settlement of a trio of antitrust lawsuits facing the NCAA and major college conferences. A self-described lifelong college sports fan. It's not going to be his sports fandom that tells us whether or not he's cut out for this job. It's probably going to be the fact that he has conducted now investigations for Major League Baseball. That's where he had been working. 8 years with the U.S. Department of Justice. He has a law degree from Harvard and I believe an undergraduate from Princeton. He's a very smart man. There's no question about it. And he now holds that power because he's the one that's going to be sort of investigating any sort of improprieties, fraud, whatever it's going to look like when it comes to NIL, how this $20.5 million is going to be divvied out from these power schools, because it's going to be them at least that start that can pay the $20.5 million to their student athletes, which they can now share. And that's all now official as a part of this settlement. And so, you know, last week we're talking about Charlie Baker, NCAA president, how, you know, the little control he has on the football side, but how he's doubling down perhaps or tripling down, whatever you want to call it, on the one thing the NCAA still does control, which is that NCAA tournament in the college basketball side. They control their championships. But this and the future of college football, our man Seeley's going to have a lot more to do with that. And so it's a name you're going to need to get familiar with, again, 46 years old. And he's the one that's going to be shepherding us through, you know, whatever this new land looks like. We've talked about how, as it relates to Memphis here locally, and we know Memphis is on the outside looking into that power structure. Memphis is not one of the schools, and Ed Scott has said that. That's expecting to be able to share $20.5 million. That is the ceiling right now. That's a ceiling that's going to go up, a cap that's going to go up each year. But Ed's talked about it in interviews, and we're hoping to get more Ed interviews now, interviews whether it's with us here on the radio station, whether it's in the local papers, whatever else, because they were waiting, is my understanding, just like every college athletic department, okay, what's going to happen with this House settlement? We're all expecting to be done by July and sort of circling the wagons. Well, now it's time to talk and figure it out. But what he had said in previous interviews was that Memphis had hoped to be about halfway in between that 20.5 mark you share with your student athletes that the power schools are doing and zero. So about $10 million that we're hoping to be able to share. Now that's in addition to, right, also NIL collectives, everything else.
Yes.
Those opportunities you would still be able to have, and Memphis will, particularly on the basketball side. This will be in addition to that, and you're sharing it with football, all your sports.
Yes.
This until we hear further from Ed, it sounds like about the halfway point, $10 million, wherever that's going to be, whatever that number is. We'll know more right once Memphis Athletics has spoken. But this all became something that had been expected now for weeks. It all became official over the weekend, and so guys like Seeley officially took their throne, got their power, or whatever you want to phrase that. And become, you know, one of the most important men in college athletics now.
So a couple things on the House settlement. One is I expect most collectives to go away, including Memphis. I think Memphis wants to run everything through their department. They may hire an NIL specialist or something along those lines. So there's some very fundamental differences coming to NIL above board. Obviously, I'll explain it. Basically, revenue sharing is going to replace the NIL that we know, right? Because what NIL is right now, Jason, as you and I both know, is pay for play. It's just these places are just throwing crazy amounts of money at these kids. It's not about marketing or like taking a, you know, doing a social media post or Gatorade. Like, it's just like they're getting paid to play and or do an appearance fee, you know, for $2 million, right? So that's about to change. So most places, from the people that I've talked to, are expected to do these Power 5 schools get, you know, or everybody can do up to 20.5. Power 5 schools will hit that mark. Memphis, as you mentioned, will probably come in around half of that. So that's kind of the gauge. 75% for football, 15% for football, 5-5-5 with whatever's left for the rest of your athletic department. That's the people that I've talked to. That's what they expect. That's why there are going to be lawsuits, right, about Title IX, because it's not going to be distributed equally, obviously, because more certain sports, football is the most important. They're going to get the most money. NIL is now going to be siphoned through Deloitte. So every NIL deal that gets reached, there's revenue sharing and then there's NIL. Right now, it's just NIL. But now, moving forward, it's going to be revenue sharing and NIL. But the difference here is that every NIL deal over $600 has to be sent to Deloitte, who has to approve it as fair market value. So basically what that means is Arkansas and Tyson Chicken can't just say to Darius Acuff, we want to write you a check for $3 million to post about our chicken, because it's not fair market value. It's nobody else is doing that, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what's going to change. Collectives, they're not needed in the same way because the school is going to pay. And that's what I'm trying to explain. NIL, as we know it, is going to now the money is just coming from the school now as part of that revenue, as opposed to right now it's all collective, it's all NIL. That's what's fundamentally changing. So the days of NIL $2 million, $3 million, those days are over. They're going to get the same amounts from schools because of the revenue sharing, so the bigger schools will pay more. That's not going to change. But it's just like the days of an NIL guy getting a $1.5 million, those will cease to exist. Because they have to be real NIL deals now, because Deloitte is going to have to approve them. You can't, you know, you're going to have a campaign. You're going to have to do things. You're going to have to, post this, that, the other. What it was supposed to be initially, it never was, right? That's what's going to be fundamentally different. The money is going to come from a different source, which means these collectives will mostly be phased out. It'll come through the school instead. I don't know that that's great news for Memphis basketball here, because you have a dedicated collective. And if these schools are going 75-15, we already know Memphis. We've talked about how they don't have as much money. You know, I worry about that piece of it a little bit. That's what I'd be interested to get Ed Scott's thoughts on, is like how do you plan to distribute the revenue that you have? Mm-hmm. You know, have you guys, I would hope you guys have thought about it, because we've known that this has been coming. So that's the fundamental. I don't know that the money's going to change. It's just like the distribution of it. It's going to come from the school as opposed to these collectives. I think, you know, the idea here is that Memphis Collective will cease to exist. I don't have that 100%, but that's been talked about.
We'll await the white smoke from the University of Memphis Athletic Department to let us know how it's all going to look.
Because honestly, it's hugely important. Like, I mean,
it's not up to us to speculate on how it should, you know.
Very fair, yeah.
On what we think this is going to look at. This is now the job, and like you said, they've had weeks to prepare for this, and Ed's been saying they were going to be at the halfway point, thought or hoped to be,
yes,
for weeks now, for months, almost going back. So, $10 million, whatever it is,
yep.
You've had time to put this together,
right?
And now it's time to come out and talk about what it's going to look
that's
like.
Right. That's,
I mean,
right.
That's just where they're at now.
So the good news is, you have the FedEx thing, right? So you still have that. It's $5 million a year, isn't it?
For four more.
Yeah. So $5 million a year plus, you know, and those will all get approved through Deloitte. Those are legitimate. Appointments, right, or engagements, mm-hmm. because it's FedEx. So that's easy. So you have $15 million to work with as an athletic department. You know, that's pretty good, honestly. And that's just like they have more than that, but that's a pretty good starting point, you know, to compete and to be competitive. But I'm mostly interested in, is it going to be a 75-15 deal with men's basketball and football? Is it going to be 70-20-65? Like, what?
But you're saying that Bluff City Collective eventually will go away.
That is my understanding. The last time that
immediately, yeah, but eventually,
yeah, like because again, the University of Memphis wants to yes, they want to handle it. Like, you know, one, which I do understand, but you know, it's good to have a basketball collective if you're a fan of the basketball program, because
you need it if you're going to try to continue to meet national expectations. It sounds like, because with the way this is going to go,
yes.
That money's going to need to be funneled over. A lot of that money's going to need to be funneled over.
It's possible
football.
That I'm speaking out of turn, but the last time that I broached the subject with somebody, it was the idea that, you know, de-emphasized or whatever the case you want to say, like just an idea and a thought that it would not be nearly as prominent at the very least.
But will it be? It'll still be legal, right? And if it's necessary,
NIL will be legal.
I'm saying these collectives,
they'll be legal
to the
for
side.
Sure. Yes.
And if it's necessary for programs like Memphis,
yes.
That will need that extra if it wants to continue. You just said you take this away, then things start to get, you start to wonder, what's the percentage for Memphis basketball in terms of what it'll get compared to what it's always gotten historically,
Absolutely.
How it's been treated. Can you continue to fund it like it's the front porch? But if you keep a collective there that can help and support,
yes.
Oh, and when you get a PJ Haggerty, hey, we can come up with $3 million so we can keep this one. I mean, I would think it's for a Memphis in particular.
Exactly,
it's necessary.
Well, yeah, because
if you're losing that, then you're in real trouble.
Colorado already did this, right? Colorado did away with their collective in January, ahead of the house settlement. They're like, we want to have one convenient place where people can give, and it's just through us, and we don't have to deal with anybody else. It's University of Memphis or you know whoever, right? The school only, but. You it depends let's just say I'm a basketball fan, right? I'm a fan of Memphis basketball. I don't care about I'm just using a hypothetical. I don't care about Memphis football. I don't care about it.
I was in the Big 12 though.
Yeah. I want to give to Memphis basketball. I want my money to go to basketball. I don't want you to take my money and distribute it 75% of it to football and then give this basketball 10%. I want this money only to go towards basketball. So that's where a basketball collective is great in that. If it's really what you care about and it's what you're passionate about, it goes right to that. When you give to Memphis, your funds become their discretion. When you give to the school, I'm saying Memphis, but when you give to the school, it becomes their discretion. And again, if I'm a basketball lifer, I don't really care about the football program. I don't really care about the Olympic sports. I care about Memphis basketball. So what does that do for somebody like me? Does it make me want to give more or does it make me want to give less? It makes me want to give less because I know my money is going to go. Now, people would say, well, it should be about the whole university. I don't care about the whole university. I'm a fan of Memphis basketball. I want the basketball program to be elite. I don't care about the rest. Now, I'm not just saying that I'm just saying a hypothetical. That's what that could create. There could be some of that. Or if you're a football person, right? I want to give to football. I don't want to give to Memphis. I don't care about Memphis basketball. We can play that game. So it's like, does that make me want to give more or less? I don't know. Maybe that's like a very stupid way of thinking about it.
I just don't know why you would allow it to go away here with Memphis basketball's history, knowing you want to keep it as funded as you can. Sure, maybe you say, yeah, ideally we'd like to be Colorado where it's all running through us, but you're different. You have a basketball history here. Typically,
exactly.
Basketball doesn't run the front porches of athletic departments. It has here historically. And so any help... So long as it's legal, why wouldn't you have a collective to further, to complement what you've got, to complement whatever you're going to give them? But frankly, not to to offset in case, again, you're giving a ton of that $10 million in revenue sharing to the football side of it.
Yep.
Memphis is the perfect sort of, the ideal sort of program where you would want to keep that collective around just for men's basketball because, again, here it has operated separately historically.
Yep.
And so, why you would want to do away with that doesn't make much sense to me.
Yeah, I agree.
But to capitalize on the folks, Memphis donors have come up that way for a long time. Hey, I want to give to basketball. That's my thing. Basketball's my thing. And you just continue to be able to capitalize on that. You don't let that go away.
I personally would not.
You don't threaten that.
I understand that Memphis, is at a place where they just want to streamline it and they want to make it easier. I respect that. But I think you have to be a little sensitive to, the sensibilities of Memphians, like everybody doesn't care about everything. Like I think a lot of schools, it's like, I just love that school. I just love Ohio State. I want Ohio State to be great in everything. I just love LSU. I'll give everything to LSU. At Memphis, it's going to be like, I might care about football. I might not. I might care about basketball. I might not.
Fred cared enough to pay enough to be winning conference titles. I'm sick of this mess.
We haven't even talked about
it. Fred Smith cared enough on the football side
to
pump in a bunch of money that should be winning conference titles right now.
Stadium and NIL.
Yeah, with all due respect to every single donor that's put in money over there on that back, you got enough on the football side now to where you should be doing better than you're doing.
Yeah.
And that was a hell of a waste of the first year of it. Finish fourth.
It was.
And you're getting the majority of the $5 million.
That's right. There's no question.
Per year. We have not even, based on how you on performance.
It should be.
The five's coming every year. I mean, there's a football fan right there. He backed it up.
I mean, you have to.
He's giving you the keys, and you can't even unlock it.
At some point, you have to ask, like, is this a good investment? You know?
Yeah, exactly. We're going to keep paying bad money.
That's right. Throwing good money at bad, man. I hate that. I really do.
That's what you turn it into. You turn it into bad money. You keep paying this contract. It keeps adding a year, and you get nothing out of it.
Absolutely, bro. Absolutely. So, look, it's a real thing. And we haven't even got, by the way, talked about Title IX lawsuits because them folks ain't getting nothing. Like, the women's basketball programs ain't getting nothing compared to football and men's basketball, you know, and let alone anything else. Right?
Yeah, I mean, how does that just lay down? All of a sudden, Title IX's not.
No, it won't. They're going to court.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I read something today where schools have, like, set aside up to $20 million for the lawsuits. Like, they're ready to fight. So, I don't know how you do that because you can't give women's basketball the same as you're giving football. So, I don't know how you square that. That's why they're going to fight it out in court. You know, they're going to have to figure that whole thing out, man. Yeah. So, anyway, there's some parts of it. I believe, like, you can offer multi-year contracts now. Those would not be legally binding because, you know, they're not legally binding.
Collective bargaining agreement.
But at least you can, like, there's a world where had this existed 2 years ago, you could have negotiated with PJ Haggerty. We'll give you $800 for the first year. You know, if year two could escalate to, you know, $1.5 million. Just, you know, whatever.
But then, like, what did Nico have? I thought he had a 4-year deal.
No, he did. That's true. He did have a 4-year deal. So I guess there's not much difference.
The scholarships changed. We officially went up to 15,
right, 15
in basketball.
Yeah.
Football, I guess Ryan doesn't have to worry anymore. I'd read that story from Bonner up at the Daily Memphian about guys he's going to have to cut or not.
Mm-hmm.
The maximum scholarships have gone from 85 to 105, but they've decreased the roster limit from 120 to 105. However, those folks that you would have had to cut are going to be grandfathered in for the rest of their college eligibility. And so there's not any. There's some walk-ons in there Ryan had mentioned, not knowing if they're going to be on or not. Well, you can keep them. They're grandfathered in. That was part of the part of the settlement. And so, yeah, everybody should be fine.
Everybody should be fine.
You got 100, now you're at 105 scholarships in football. You're at 15 in basketball.
Now, have you gotten your season tickets yet?
No.
I know you're working on that. Mm-hmm. Are you in talks? What's the home schedule like for Memphis? Oh, we got Arkansas September 20th.
Yeah, we've looked at the schedule. What are you talking about here? We got Tulane at the house, right? Some of the more important games were
all right.
We're at Simmons Bank.
It's actually not bad. It's sadly better than Memphis basketball's home schedule.
So far, yeah. Hopefully, Penny's gonna surprise us.
Navy at home as well.
Mm-hmm. The two most important conference games right there at the house.
But that one's
we don't
on
play Army,
Thanksgiving.
Right? We don't play Army.
No Army.
Uh-huh.
You get Tulane at home on a Friday.
And we don't have to see Trailer, you said.
Trailer, the unfriendly ghost is not on your schedule this year.
So that's key.
Yeah.
He can't make us look bad.
But you do have to see Sam Pittman.
I don't worry about Sam Pittman.
You don't think Sam Pittman going to come here and dust your ass?
It's really, I mean, again, that's for our, you know, a group of five, that spot in the playoff, game. It's really, you know, it's house money you're playing with.
No, you're just trying to cover the spread, right? Let's be honest.
Now, y'all tell me how great Ryan is against the power schools.
Well,
in those bowl games when half of them ain't playing anymore.
How many
the whole
power schools has he actually played, though?
I mean,
West Virginia,
in the bowl games.
I mean, that was a joke.
Well, the one last year, what was it? The 1-1 last year? Well, I
Ryan
say,
beat Mississippi State.
I know he beat Mississippi State. He beat West Virginia. He beat Florida State.
Yep.
But that was a joke. Florida State had one of the worst quarterbacks in their history in that one. So, I mean, I know that they were underdogs in that one. I get it, but
who
did
they beat in that? It was Iowa State. Y'all
that's
out
right.
Iowa State.
Iowa
Liberty
State
Bowl.
Was a good one.
So I was just talking about the bowl ones.
No,
yeah.
I'm not.
That's
look,
one that Jarvis
look,
didn't hold
look,
up.
Look, Iowa State played all their players. That was a good win. That was a really good
Iowa State's legit.
Yeah.
36-26.
West Virginia, that was a joke.
They had no one.
Yeah.
Right.
Florida State was a joke. Knowing what we know now about them, right? And then Mississippi State, you know, rest in peace, Mike Leach. That team sucked.
Again, I'm not – this is not – but this is what people use when you –
No, you're right.
To offset the don't have conference titles.
Murray
wins big ones in the bowls. These are not big. Well, a lot of them aren't big.
Go beat Arkansas. Who's their starting quarterback, man? Do you know? I'm going to look it up. I don't think they're going to be good, though.
They had – I can't remember.
Oh, it's Talon Green.
Yeah,
oh, my
say,
God.
The kid, the
oh, my God. Memphis is
going to
get blasted
kid?
In
Boise
this
State
game.
Kid, right?
Oh, Memphis is going to get blasted in that game. Talon Green, familiar with the Liberty Bowl, bro. Remember, he almost led Boise State to the upset.
I remember. He came in. He came in to replace the other guy.
No, it was the other way around. He started, and then he got benched in the middle of the game for Madsen.
Mm.
Maddox or whatever. What's that dude's name? Might have been Maddox Madsen. It is Maddox Madsen. Yeah. Little short white dude. Like, why did they bench Talon Green? He's out here cooking Memphis. Makes no sense. But that's what happened. Talon Green got benched in the middle of the game by the coach that got fired, Avalos. That's why he got fired. He's an idiot. And now Talon Green's at Arkansas playing really well. He's that dual threat. I am a sucker for guys like Talon Green that are, like, put together, rangy, can move, can throw. He's an athlete.
Well, we're going to give their defense problems, though.
I hope so. I hope that happens. But I'm telling you, Talon Green going to do it to you.
What? And our defense, you know, is going to be a problem.
That's right. That's right. That total will probably be 74, would be my guess.
You have the time of that game?
Let's see. That one is – it doesn't look like a time has been announced for that one. What's the favorite? 11 a.m. minus 500.
Well, we want the sun, right? We need the sun to help.
You don't want a night game at Simmons Bank?
No, we want to cook them. We wanted the middle of the day.
I want the night game.
I guess
game.
This is the SEC's finest. I mean, athletes or whatever.
Maximum.
Certainly better than the A. They're going to hold up in the heat.
That's right.
I can't expect them to break down the heat.
I want maximum environment, bro. Saturday night in Midtown Memphis, just outside of Orange Mound, third down in the mound. You can hear it now, can't you?
Hey, Dave, Talon Green might get hurt. He could get hurt. We could do to them what we did to Florida State.
Do it to him then. Do it to him then, big fella.
Many people say Pittman on his last leg.
He is.
He's just waiting to get knocked off.
He is. That is true. You got that $25 million NIL from FedEx? Do it to him then.
Sealfield kind of did it to Leach and finished him.
He did.
Finished him.
He did.
God rest Leach's soul.
He died.
He couldn't live with it, could he?
He died.
Couldn't live with losing to Ryan.
He.
God rest his soul.
That is crazy. That is a crazy statement. That is.
Because he did. He didn't. He wasn't locked in, was he?
I don't think. Is that a ghost?
That's him talking from the sky.
I don't think the timing quite lined up, though, with that one. Although I just think that might be the underrated craziest statement that has been made on this show. Mm-hmm. Damn. But yes, new day in college athletics. We'll see just how much it actually changes. But there's a lot of proposals here. We shall see. All right, talked about it. Been betting seriously for about 5 years, and in that time, you're going to have highs and lows. There are going to be times where I win where I had no business winning. And there are going to be times where I lose where it was just so beyond comprehension that you never forget it. And ladies and gentlemen, I can officially tell you that that day came for me yesterday. Now, it's going to hurt a lot more for the person who was involved in the competition than it does for me, because it was just, I'm sitting around watching the French Open and I'm like, okay, this guy, Yannick Sinner, he's dominating. He's dominating this 5-set match. Mm-hmm. Let me throw some shekels on him live. Minus 260. We can do the money line probability there, whatever. But minus 260. He gets all the way up to 50, minus 50,000 on the money line. Minus 50,000. He has 3 straight match points. And somehow this kid, Vamos, Carlos Alcaraz, who is one of the guttiest, I mean, that dude has heart.
I saw Spike Lee was there.
Yeah, Spike Lee was there.
Hugging this guy.
Glad he finally can root for a winner. You know, because he had Coco Gauff. Shout out to Coco. I know she's getting a respect burger.
That's why Spike was there.
Yes. Coco's going to get a respect burger.
No, I actually don't have anything. I'll let you do all the tennis respect. You go right ahead.
Well, I would give.
Nothing for tennis.
I would give Coco a respect burger. She was an underdog in that match against Sabalenka.
Good for her.
And I have not. I'm watching tennis because, like, it's just that time of the calendar. You know, we have, as you know, 8 days between NBA games now.
Yeah, we know why.
And I actually did not bet this one. I did not bet the Coco Gauff match. I was just watching it. And what I was so impressed by is just how steely she is. Like, she doesn't overwhelm you with, like, power or anything like that. But, like, her composure throughout the match was just noted. Like, it was like, oh, my goodness. Like, there's nothing that – she's unflappable.
Right.
She just had the same look. Sabalenka's over there melting down. She's, like, yelling at her coach. She's, like, you know, rolling her eyes, throwing her head back. You know, like, she's wearing it that she's struggling. Coco, bad shot, good shot, looks the same.
Good for her.
And I'm like, okay, 21 years old? 21 years old, and that's how you're going through life?
Yeah.
What a stud. What an absolute beast. That was our first American winner of the French Open since Serena in 2015.
That's going to be a problem, is that there's not going to be anything Coco can do that Serena hasn't. And so for
that's right.
guys like me that watch Serena in her prime, it's going to take a lot for Coco to move the needle.
And you know, she's not, she doesn't, again, like, you know, Serena right. just overwhelmed me with power.
Yeah, like. Serve.
She does not do this.
So you're not watching a thoroughbred.
Right. But
go out there and just dominate folks. But I'm with you. And what I like is what you're telling me in terms of how she's matured in terms of the game.
Yeah, she was
not
awesome.
Letting anything phase her.
She was awesome.
That's awesome to hear.
Yeah, she was
and still very young, 21. I think I thought she was older.
No, she just turned 21, bro, in March.
Yeah, she
and
came
she's
on
already got
early.
Two Grand Slams.
Good for her.
In the French Open this year and then U.S. Open 2 years ago.
Okay, you hit that respect burger for John there. I appreciate you giving her that early respect burger, bro.
Yeah, and, you know, her parents are there. They're soaking it up. I just love that. I love that moment. That is Coco Gauff is American greatness.
Good. I'm glad you educated me on her. I need to get back into paying more attention to her again.
No, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, when it comes to these Americans and international competition, you know, it just makes you kind of emotional, right? You're like, you know, we're not dominating tennis.
Well, especially if you tell me, okay, we can win these majors. We got a real shot in each one of them again. Now I'm more tuned in.
Yes.
That's what you're telling me. That
now the men is a problem. The men is a real problem.
Right. We don't have that.
We have Ben Shelton, who is a young kid coming up, who, you know, a lot of people are really high on. He's made big improvements, you know, from last year to this one. That people think he could be a sneaky U.S. Open winner, right?
Okay.
But, I mean, you watched that match yesterday between Sinner and Alcaraz, and it's like they're playing a different sport. The shots that Carlos Alcaraz was hitting were like just they defied physics. Like the match point shot, I encourage you to go watch it.
Okay.
It was like, first of all, the match itself was probably the greatest match of tennis ever. 5.5 hours, decided by a tiebreak after the fifth set. It was just electrifying television with both of these guys hitting shots that nobody else in the world probably can hit. Both of them. Center serve was unstoppable. Alcaraz's drop shot was killing him there and his forehand. Just unbelievable, right? I mean, the guy was locked in. Great match. But Center was a minus 50,000 money line favorite at one point. It was 99.9% that he was going to win this match. And what you learned about betting tennis and why I will not be doing it in the future is that there's no one to save you. There's no clock. There's no coach. There's no timeout. There's no substitution. It is literally just you and the other person in that arena. And once you – because you can feel it. It kind of builds, right? Like when you start seeing a guy kind of fall apart, it just avalanches for the most part. Like mm-hmm. He melted down. Now, he fought back. Sinner fought back and forced the tiebreaker in the fifth set. So I can't necessarily call it a choke job, but when you're a minus 50,000 favorite and you lose, you know, that's one that Sinner will probably never for. Even McEnroe was saying that. McEnroe was like, I hope he wins this soon because if he doesn't, it's never going to leave him. Like, McEnroe was like, this happened to me. I don't remember which Grand Slam he was talking about. But he lost one in a dramatic fashion. Like, he was up, but he blew it. He's like, I still think about it. He's like, it still is an issue for me. So I hope for his sake that he can come back and win this, because if he doesn't, it could impact him for the rest of his career. And, you know, tennis is such a mental game.
Mm-hmm.
But I've gotten into it a little bit just because of the function of the sports calendar. There's not a whole lot going on, right?
Sounds like you've been playing pickleball on the weekends.
My neighbor Bob sets up the pickleball. Goodman loves pickleball.
I nailed it.
Goodman loves pickleball. He swears by it.
And you've been thinking about getting involved.
I don't know. I mean, tennis, yeah, pickleball would be the one. Tennis is insanely.
Right, yeah, you'd never play tennis.
We tried to do that when we went to Jamaica in November.
Mm-hmm.
Me, my father-in-law, my sister-in-law, and then my father-in-law's girlfriend, we tried to play, and it was just a mess. Like, nobody could hit the ball back.
Right.
It's like, this is not very fun, bro.
But pickleball, though.
Pickleball is, like, for the uninitiated.
Pedestrian.
Yeah, like, because it's a small ball. It's just a little paddle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't need a racket. Pickleball is fun. It's a good little workout, you know. But, yeah, it's not tennis. It's certainly not tennis. But,
I'm impressed by your newfound respect for tennis.
Some are saying that the Sinner-Alcaraz match was the greatest match ever played.
Yeah, that sounded a little silly based on the players in this case, the characters involved. I think to have the best ever.
Well, it was 1-2. They're 1-2 in the world.
There's no history with those two.
Well, yeah, Sinner's lost
they're
to them every time.
They're too new.
Yeah, they are too new.
They're not two of the GOATs.
No, they're not.
So I know I respect the 5 hours thing and how grueling
longest
it was.
Longest match in French Open history.
It's 3 championship points, right, for your man French Sinner that he blew or whatever, 3 championship points he blew?
Yep.
So I get the drama involved with all that, but the name, you don't have GOATs involved, it doesn't
No, you don't.
Like,
you don't.
Or at least yet in their careers,
yeah,
they're
no,
not
you don't.
Quite GOATs.
You don't. But we don't have anybody like that in tennis right now.
Right, but you got to go back to some of those old ones to get those, like
you,
the Connors and all
those.
Is
there a match that you think of? Like,
oh, no.
Right, you're
because I'm not some
tennis
historian.
You're not a tennis guy.
But I guarantee you, Connors was in some of them, and McEnroe was in some of them, and Bjork was in some of them things,
and
Pete Sampras.
Can Coco get you back?
Brad Gilbert was in some of them things. I used to watch for when we had American men playing.
Would you watch again if we had American men?
And when we had Serena, I was still in it.
We got Coco, so that's one for you.
She's just, she's going to have to do so much.
2 Grand Slams at 21. She's the most accomplished 21-year-old since Gary Parrish broke the Albert Mean story.
Okay. I think I'm actually waiting on Serena's kids, on her daughter or whatever, kind of like we did with Charlie.
Right.
You know, like we did with
still,
Tiger.
Still kind of waiting on that?
Charlie's coming.
I mean, okay.
He's winning.
I hear everybody saying that. We'll see.
Yeah, he's coming.
You know, I saw Joe Gibbs' grandson racing this weekend. I hear a lot about
Gibbs' grandson?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ty Gibbs.
About time. He's had Joe Gibbs racing forever. Somebody needs to be racing out of that family.
I think
family.
He finished top 10. Good for him at Michigan yesterday.
A lot of pressure on those family and those family names.
But they rarely meet. They rarely meet, you know, the name.
Kobe did.
Kobe wasn't like a legacy, though.
His dad was a...
He wasn't like...
Here and overseas.
I know. I'm saying, though. Like,
he raised the bar.
Like Bronny James, great example. Like... Michael Jordan's sons, great example.
Well,
like,
now you only picked ones that haven't lived up. There's one that took it past where his dad had.
What's the best great player whose son was as in the same, you know, stratosphere? Great player, son was in the thing, in the same realm.
Giannis's dad,
bro. Giannis, who was Giannis's dad?
Who clearly it I'm shows you.
I'm talking about great player who has a son, and that son meets the dad. Where he's at?
Top of my head, it's going to be tough because Shador was taken fifth.
Ken Griffey's
a good one. Ken Griffey's a good one. He was definitely surprised. Oh, what am I talking about? Mr. Clutch, Brunson. Look at his daddy.
Bro, his dad was not a great player.
His daddy was just, no, it's the same thing, though. Role player, whatever you want to say. I don't know how great Ken Griffey Sr. was. I don't know if he's in the Hall of Fame.
I thought he was a pretty good one.
I don't know if he's, is he Hall of Fame?
I don't know.
And so that the same thing would apply there.
Yeah.
You're making it where this guy's got to be a Hall of Famer.
He's a 3-time All-Star.
Okay. Yeah, better
2-time
than Brunson.
2-time World Series champ.
Better than Brunson, still. The point remains that there are going to be some of them cases, bro, and you won't give Kobe Bryant's dad no love.
I can't give Joe any love. I'm sorry.
He was cold over there in Italy.
Italy, I'm sorry. There's no pressure that comes with Italy following the Italian.
It seems like a lot of the overseas fathers have had kids. Jason Tatum's son. Jason Tatum's father.
Okay.
We've had Tatum
on.
Yeah,
we have.
His son was greater.
Yeah. Yeah.
He played overseas, played at St. Louis.
I heard CJ was better than you on the football field.
Nah, that's not true.
Oh, that's not true.
Again, your source is getting worse and worse as your career goes on. Really, it's flipping.
He was worse?
Yeah. His career's over. It lasted one day. I was out there longer than that.
Woo. CJ. Damn, brother.
Back to it again. The shooting down of Jelly Bean Bryant. How are we going to do that?
I just didn't think of him as like a great player.
Well, I guess you're not an all-star, but still.
Yeah. Maybe I'm uneducated.
It's not a deal where the sun never lives up.
Yeah. So Jelly Bean was the average 8-4 in the NBA.
Yeah, we were cold in Italy, bro.
Yeah. We lost.
No, Tim Hardaway, daddy was colder.
Yeah, he was.
Daddy was colder. I can't give you that one.
But they're in this. They're kind of in the same.
No. Won the killer crossover? What are we talking about here? If we put the right things around Tim, he'd have won a title. Daddy Tim.
We should
Tim,
look.
He's a high-scoring role player, Hardaway Jr. Definitely not. Never had anything close to the
Barry
impact.
Barry Bonds?
I guess so. I guess so.
Yeah, Barry Bonds. Arch Manning was not a great player. He was an NFL guy, but he wasn't a great player.
Well, he's a greater player than Brunson was, probably.
I don't know.
But my Brunson.
Arch Manning might be a good one.
Arch Manning's a good one. Arch Manning went to the NFL. He just played for a bad team.
Right, right.
Right, New Orleans. They were awful.
Yeah. Yeah, Archie
Manning.
But
he's great at Ole Miss.
Archie Manning is a good one.
Good call. Good call. You could say the Suns were better. Suns were better.
They were. I mean, his grandson. He's even got grandsons.
Arch. That's a good one.
Yeah.
It is rare. It is certainly rare.
Yeah. But I guess it has to.
I feel like we're leaving out a big one, though.
I don't know.
Like a giant.
A son and father who were both great.
Yeah. Not in the NFL. There's not one.
I mean, I think Archie was the only. I mean,
there's got to be a bunch in the NFL. Like linemen whose kids were better.
Oh, Howie and Chris Long?
We're getting there. There's going to be some in the NFL, you're going to have some linemen whose kids were good.
Bruce Matthews.
There we go.
Jake Matthews.
There we go. There's a bunch. There's a gold mine. There's going to be a gold mine.
McCaffrey.
McCaffrey is one. But he's better than his dad.
Is that Christian McCaffrey?
Yes, and I think his dad might have been a Pro Bowler maybe one year.
Ed was a good career receiver.
He was a good receiver. Maybe not a Pro Bowler, but good. Mm-hmm. Kind of along the Brunson, the role player.
Are we sure Christian McCaffrey's Ed's son?
Yes, maybe it's his nephew.
Father Ed McCaffrey?
That's him. That's his daddy. Good call. Yeah. Good call, BC.
His son's also a receiver for the Commanders, Luke. Got drafted last year.
Not better than
that. No, he's not. He's not.
Christian,
Joey and Nick,
good call.
Joey and Nick Bosa better than John, who was drafted in the 80s but injured.
I don't remember John.
There's going to be some of those, though, that I'm talking about. The linemen.
Antoine Winfield better than Antoine Winfield Sr., who had a long and respectable career.
Asante Samuel's kid.
Pat Surtain.
He hadn't passed him yet, though.
Pat Surtain and his son.
Surtain's kid.
Yep. Surtain Jr. is one of the best DBs in the league.
Football.
And Pat, his dad was for a while, too. Mm-hmm. So Pat Surtain is probably one of those on that list.
Kellen Winslow better than Senior, who is in the Hall of Fame?
Nope. Because dad was Hall of Fame, and we canceled Kellen.
He got canceled.
We had to cancel son. He was on his way for a minute. He was.
Oh, Marvin Harrison, bro.
Marvin Harrison.
Not colder than dad yet.
But he's in the.
Yeah, he's.
He's got a chance.
Yeah.
I mean, he's, and it's literally the same name.
It's a good point, Jason. He's not quite there.
He had a rough rookie year.
Peyton had Marvin on. Yeah. I mean, he's Hall of Famer.
There's some interesting names on this list, man. The guys I didn't even think about.
But you do have Ken Griffey first. So that was a good call.
Jalen Warren.
Ken ended up being better than his daddy. And his daddy was a 3-time All-Star, you said. That's pretty good. That's a pretty big case.
Yeah. Deion's they're up there. Let's see what happens with Shadur.
Nah, come on, man.
Yeah, I'm not going to write him off. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to be as good as
his
dad.
His two-sport father, star father?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he probably was never going to live
good
up
luck.
To that.
Yeah, he's doomed.
But, yeah, we're waiting on some of the, some of the offspring here. There's no doubt about it. All right, we'll come back. Got Respect Burgers, and then Jeff Cox is going to join us at 1:25. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.